Well, it behooves me to begin this homily with a bit of an announcement. Many of you, or some of you at least, may already know what I'm about to say. So I have bad news and I have good news. The bad news is that I have received my assignment from the bishop, and at the beginning of this fall, I will no longer be the parochial vicar at St. John the Evangelist beginning in September. That's the bad news. The good news is that my new assignment is going to be as chaplain of Lumen Christi. So I will still remain in Jackson, and I will be here in Jackson for about 5-6 years longer than I would have expected. And the even better news is that I get to continue living at St. John's, and I will still help with Masses here on Sundays. So for the most part, nothing is going to change for at least your Sunday experience. And my pastoral ministry will shift. I won't do pastoral ministry specifically here at St. John's. All my pastoral ministry will be for our students, our young men and women over at Jackson Lumen Christi. So it's bittersweet. There will be some changes, but all things considered, I'm just very excited, very happy, very at peace. This is probably the best thing that could have happened. It's exactly what I was hoping for, so I'm very grateful that the bishop has asked this of me, and I was very grateful to say yes. So you also know that Father Chaz is going to soon begin his sabbatical, which means I get to be the interim pastor for the next 4 months after he leaves. So you have to... So you all have to be on your best behavior, all right? I can't get in trouble. Nobody can burn the building down. We can have no burst pipes. As long as there's still money in the bank, by the time he gets back in August, I'll be okay. So we'll all make it through. But this is going to be, just to let you all know, right, somewhat of a summer of transition. It remains to be seen at this point how things will exactly shake out in the fall. That's going to be forthcoming as the priest assignment board continues their work of kind of shifting priests around to figure out what exactly will happen here in Jackson. But the news was officially made public on Friday, and we are announcing it to all the masses this weekend. So now you officially know, if you didn't already know, that I will be the new chaplain at Lumen Christi. So a wonderful gift, all things considered. Had I not received this assignment, there's just no way that I would have been here beyond 3 years. It wouldn't have happened. So you get to see me for much longer than even I had originally hoped for, which is good for all of us, and couldn't be more excited. Couldn't be more excited for the opportunity that this really presents, and I just feel very at peace that the Holy Spirit really led not only my own prayer, but the movement in the diocese and the bishop's prayer. A lot of people in Jackson have been praying a lot to the Lord about this, and I'm very grateful that God's given such a gift, not only to me, but to all of us, to each other, you know, that gift that we are to each other. So thanks be to God for that. It's for that reason, it's been quite a week for me to just reflect on all of that, on some of the things that are on the docket for my life, and all of that happening in relation to today, in relation to today's scripture, seems to be a related thing. You know, I told you at the introduction to the readings that the scriptures at this point in the season of Lent, they really begin to change. They begin to focus right in on the heart of the issue. And we get a real sense of what's going on in the life of Jesus as we hear specifically from the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, which was today's Gospel. You see, you have to put this into a little bit of context, in the context of the whole story. Many of you probably know that the Gospel of John is a little bit different. It's a little bit different than the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They form kind of their own little clan over on this side, right? They're called the Synoptic Gospels, but the Gospel of John presents a fair amount of different stories. The theological perspective is richer. And the Gospel of John itself is, in the structure, in the way that it was written, it's really divided into two big pieces. The first half, chapters 1 through 12, and the second half, chapter 13 all the way to the end. And what we are on in today's reading, in today's gospel, is the very cusp of that transition, where we move from the first half of the story of John, that first 12 chapters called the Book of Signs, and we're about to move in to chapter 13 and beyond, which is the Book of Glory. And that is like nothing but the Paschal Mystery. Nothing but the Paschal Mystery. A huge chunk of John's gospel, almost half of it, is on the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And what Jesus is saying in today's gospel is that last monologue, which brings about this transition, and Jesus says it very strongly, because Jesus says, now is the hour, now is the hour. It's a really particular thing what Jesus is revealing when he uses that phrase. He's been saying this his whole ministry, the first 12 chapters of John. We see that also in the Synoptic Gospels, where Jesus says, the hour's coming. The hour is going to arrive when? And when the hour comes, this, that, and then the other thing. He's pointing to this. In his ministry, he continues to talk about a future moment of fulfillment. And today, that moment begins to arrive. Jesus says, now is the hour. And the analogy that he uses for his hour is the analogy of the grain of wheat. Right? What is Jesus talking about when he's talking about my hour, the hour has come? Already, very clearly, we know what he's talking about. Jesus is talking about what he's about to go through. He's talking about the fact that he's going to suffer, and he's going to die, and he's going to rise again. That's the hour. That's the hour of Jesus. We know, of course, that it happens in a period of days, but he refers to it there as like one thing, the moment. And Jesus says, when I talk about the moment, the defining thing in my life, I need you to see that as you would see a grain of wheat. That the grain of wheat, which has all things potentially within it, everything is encapsulated there in that small seed. But there's only one way in which what is potentially there actually comes about, actually becomes fruit. The transition from the seed to the fruit is this really fancy word called death. You know, I'm very happy that Jesus used this word because it's about the most accurate word he could use. When Jesus is talking about his hour, Jesus is talking about the moment of change where things will look different, where point A is finally going to go to point B. And we describe that movement from point A to point B by using the word death. Unless the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it's only a grain of wheat. But if it dies, then it produces fruit. I like that. I like that because it's honest. Because in his own human heart, he's able to call the spade the spade. I heard it really well this one time when Jesus talks about his hour, when he talks about this moment where things are going to look different. Things in my life are going to change. Things in my life are never going to be the same after this. You know, when Jesus is talking about change, he's experiencing it the same way that we all experience it, which is in a way that doesn't always feel so pleasant. Death does not feel pleasant. But change sometimes looks a lot like that. As I was saying, I heard this sort of great analogy for that. Several months back, I think it was in February or March, myself and Father Chaz and a few of us on staff went to this parish conference just as a way to kind of collect ourselves and help us to ask the question, you know, how is it that the Holy Spirit is leading us? How does God desire us to organize ourselves just in very practical ways so that we can serve God's people better? It was a great conference. And one of the things that they spoke about in that conference was this very concept, change. And the guy who was giving that talk was really astute. He said, you know, the truth is that we actually love change. We really do. We love it. We want it. And he said, you know, imagine this. Imagine me walking over here to John Smith and saying, John, hey, John, I got an idea. John, I've been noticing that you live in this house over here, and I've taken a look at that house, and it's a decent house. You know, it's not the newest thing. As you said to me before, John, that you're the second or the third owner, so it's got a little bit of wear and tear. It's in okay condition, but I've really been thinking, John, that what I want to do is I want to offer you a change, and I want you to come over here, and I want you to look at this over here, and I want you to see this house. You see this house, John? This baby is brand spanking new, just built. It's got two more bedrooms. It's got two more bathrooms. It's got a pool in the back. It's even got central air. You didn't have that in your old house. You're finally going to be cool in the summertime. Right, there's going to be no maintenance issues at all. All the appliances are new. I got the furniture. It's a turnkey house. All you have to do, John, is pack up and move there. You see, and then the speaker said, in John's heart, what is John thinking? John's thinking, well, I'm looking at my house, I'm looking at the condition, and I'm looking at what's being offered to me. And if I had to choose between this place and that place, where do I want to be? That's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. I want that. I want that. No comparison. All right, just pack up and move. You see, but when John has to think about packing up and moving, John doesn't feel quite so excited as he used to feel. Have any of you ever actually moved from one house to another? Yeah, how fun is that? It's not. It's horrible, right? It's complicated. You got to talk to a real estate agent. You got to file all kinds of paperwork. You got to go down to the county offices and file a bunch of stuff. There's lots of fees. You got to pack up everything that's been perfect in your house, right? Just as you've known it, it's all totally familiar. You got to rent the truck. You got to physically move everything from the house into the truck. You got to take that truck across the town. You probably have to make two or three trips. You don't know how to do it all because you've never done this before, and you probably want other people's help. So now you're trying to enlist the help of your brother and your sister and your cousin, your aunt, and you're begging people. You're saying, look, I'll feed you cookies, anything that you want. I just need help, right? And then you finally get over to this house, and as you get into this house, you're like, oh, gosh, what do we do now? Maybe I want the couch there. No, actually, I don't really like it there. I want it over on this side. And as it takes you time to move, you think to yourself, man, this change is hard. It's hard. And as this speaker was giving us this presentation, he's like, because this is it about our hearts. We love change. We hate the transition. We want the change. We can't stand the transition that it takes us to get from here to here, because we would rather just be there. We see it. We want it. We see the goodness. But the question that's presented to us is, are you ready to die to get from here to here? Because that's what transition is. It's a type of death. And can you and can I abide the death? Can we persevere the transition, knowing that it's going to be really unpleasant, a huge hassle, not something that we want to go through? You see, the story of Jesus' life here in the 12th chapter, when Jesus says, now's the time, now the change happens, now my life is going to look very different than it's ever looked before, and my heart's troubled. I'm troubled. But what am I supposed to say? Father, take this away. It's for this purpose that I came. It's for this very change that I came in the flesh. You see, Jesus provides the very real key about change. Man, and change is everywhere. All the time in our life. Most of the time, it probably looks small. But every single one of us has gone through a change or is going through a change that's frankly not at all pleasant. It feels a lot like death. Even if it's a good change, you know, even if you're like, all right, well, my ministry is changing. I'm not going to be at a parish anymore. I'm going to be down at the high school. That's a beautiful change. That's something that God is doing. That's something that brings peace, that brings hope. But it does not come without suffering. It doesn't come without challenge. It doesn't come without transition. And so necessarily, with every change, God asks us, will you abide? Will you persevere? Will you submit yourself to the death before you so that your life will bear fruit, so that what is potentially within you, all of those desires that you just yearn for, that all of those desires can truly come to pass. So important, today's gospel. Because today's gospel is really supposed to encourage you and to encourage me about this very real human thing that goes on whenever we go through change. Whether the change is hard, whether the change is beautiful, whether that means we're changing the people that we're working with or the environment that we're working with, you know, whether that means we're going through a life change or a relationship change, no matter what that is, if we feel like it stinks, that's normal. We never have to be afraid of the fact that we feel troubled, because Jesus was troubled. And even in the midst of Jesus being troubled, how did he respond? What was it that allowed Jesus to make the transitus, the transition? How did Jesus walk from A to B? He says it, Father. Father. That's how he did it. He remembered who he was. Jesus remembered who he was. He saw what was most true in himself, and because he recalled it, he said, no transition is impossible because I know who I am. What did Jesus come for? Why did Jesus come in the flesh? What did he say himself in the Gospels that he came to do? He said, I came to reveal the love of the Father. I came for that purpose, to reveal the love of the Father. And the first thing that Jesus revealed about the love of the Father is that the Father loves his Son. Jesus came to reveal himself, and he said, when you look at me, what you need to see first in me is that I am loved. That I am loved by my Father. Because when we see that in Jesus, when we see that as the core identity of the Son of God, we see ourselves in that same identity. Because Jesus says, when you see that I am loved, you see that you have been loved. Because it was the Father that sent me to you. If any of you sit in church today, and if you have a personal love for Jesus Christ, how is it that you think that you received him? Who gave him to you? If you love Jesus, you received that gift because the Father gave him to you. Because God the Father loved you. Because God the Father loved me. And since Jesus knew that, and since Jesus was primarily coming to reveal that, that allowed him to abide. The transitus, the movement, the change from what was potentially there to what was actually there. Potentially the salvation of all souls to actually the salvation of all souls. So if that's you today, or if that has been you and you can see that in your life, or if you feel like down the pipeline that might soon be you, you and I are meant to abide in that this day. We're meant to rest in that this day. We're meant to be encouraged by what Jesus himself said about his own life, about his own hour, so that when you and I come to our hours, when we come to our moments of change, our moments of transition, what do we remember? We remember that we're loved, and that makes all the difference.